This is Palm Sunday today. Growing up, I had no clue what Palm Sunday even meant. I went to Catholic high school. I still didn't know really what Palm Sunday was all about. It's not about palm reading. These are our palms. I do kind of like the idea, though, of Palm Sunday. It gives us a reminder during praise and worship to wave our palms, right, in honor of the King. I want to talk about this episode that happened on the first Palm Sunday when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Now, for my message, it's going to be all in the New King James, but if you really want to get the full gist of my message today, you'll probably want to follow along in the King James, okay? Let me talk about donkeys a little bit. And the point of my message, I just didn't feel the freedom to use it every time I started reading a verse and how a King James explains donkeys, it just made me smile. And this whole sermon really isn't about smiling a lot. But you'll see what I mean as we get into this message. So Matthew 21, 1 through 7. This incident is right after, just a few days after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And the Jewish authorities were already plotting how to get rid of Lazarus because you can't have that testimony about Jesus. And then now they've also been plotting how to get rid of Jesus. And now here's Jesus in verse 1. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them.' All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him, Jesus, on them." Father God, I pray, Lord, that this message this morning, Lord, would speak to all of us here. We pray, God, that your word, which we know does not return void, Lord, goes into our spirits, into our souls, into our minds, Lord, and opens us to the wondrous things that are contained in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to really break this down because I was reading this and I was starting to think, am I really seeing something here that can be useful for us today in regards to Jesus sending his disciples and untying this donkey, and how am I going to apply that to something that we can actually use in our own walk with Jesus Christ? So this is what I want to do, is break this story down a little bit. So let's think about this. It says in the first verse, if you want to back up to verse 1, it says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples." All of you here, or most of you, I hope, consider yourselves disciples of Jesus Christ. You are followers of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus speaks to you and tells you to go somewhere, I hope you're obedient and you go. So Jesus tells two of his disciples to go to this village, to the specific location. Now, think about this. If you want to hear Jesus speaking to you, if you want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you, here, right, even in the book of Revelation, talks about he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." If we want to hear what Jesus is saying to us, just like these disciples, they had to be in proximity to Jesus. They had to be in relationship with Jesus. They had to be close enough to him so that they could hear him when he spoke to them. That's how we need to be. So close to Jesus, so aware of his presence, that when he speaks to us, we are aware and we know where he's sending us. We know what he is telling us and where we're supposed to do or what we're supposed to do, where we're supposed to go. So he sends two disciples and he says to them, go into the village opposite them. What does the Great Commission tell us to do? In Matthew 28, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, I don't have it on the screen, but we're all aware of this. It says that Jesus came. This is after the resurrection. He comes to his disciples and he says, all authority, some authority? No. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. So we're told to go and make disciples. In this story, Jesus is telling his disciples in this story to go to this village, okay? Go to this village, in verse 2 it says, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied. Now, any of you grew up with donkeys? Maybe you grew up on a farm or something? No one. Usually there's at least one person that had a donkey. I don't know anything. You ever see the movie City Slickers? I am a city slicker. I grew up in Los Angeles in concrete and buildings. Not a whole lot of donkeys around. I found a website that specialized in donkeys. How to train donkeys, all kinds of stuff about donkeys. But what was interesting to me is I pulled up some interesting donkey facts. Okay? Now, for thousands of years, like I was talking about earlier with yesterday, all the helping hands that came, donkeys for thousands of years have been the helping hooves of humankind. They have been the original beasts of burden. In Genesis, the book of Genesis, donkeys are mentioned 20 times in the book of Genesis. They've been around since the beginning, okay? And it says, still, in a lot of countries today, and in many situations, they are still used as the primary mode of transportation. If you want to get from point A to point B, you want to go from this village to that village, you want a donkey. Why? Because compared to a horse or a camel, they are an all-terrain animal. They do a lot better. They're the original ATV, all-terrain vehicle. Okay. Also, now this is in contrast to a popular misconception about donkeys, but they're actually very intelligent animals. And this is something I didn't know either, that they can live for over 50 years. If you compare a donkey and a horse of the same size, the donkey is going to be a lot stronger than the horse. So a beast of burden. They're able to do a lot more than even a horse. Also, donkeys have an incredible memory. They can remember, they can recognize areas and even other donkeys that they were around up to 25 years prior. So they have a really good memory. And here's something that we're going to bring out as we go through this message. A donkey will not do something it considers to be unsafe. Or it probably won't do something that it considers to be unsafe. Now, horses, now how many of you grew up around horses? Now, are horses easily startled, generally speaking? Donkeys are not easily startled. They're actually very curious type animals. It's hard to startle them. Now, when you think of a donkey, what characteristic do you think of? Immediately, what pops in your head? Stubborn, right? Stubborn. That is due, this concept of them being stubborn is due to, they have a highly developed sense of self-preservation, okay? It's difficult to force or frighten a donkey into doing something that it sees as contrary to its own best interest or safety. So if they think, this isn't safe, this is against my self-interest, they don't want to do it. So that's where that characteristic of stubbornness comes from. It's born out of a highly developed sense of preservation.
Now, I want to look at all that. Just take all that, remember it. Now I want to look at this story, and I did not put it. I'm going to kind of go through this story real quick. But y'all remember Balaam's donkey, that story, right?
This is Numbers 22. It says, Balaam rose up in the morning. He saddled his donkey, and he went with the princes of Moab. That was a mistake in God's eyes. It says that God's anger was aroused because he went with these princes of Moab. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him, and he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord. Balaam didn't, but this donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Now, why did the donkey do that? According to what we just read, these facts, if a donkey feels like his safety is threatened, he's not going to do what you want him to do. He sees an angel with a sword in his hand. So that donkey says, going towards that angel with a sword is not in my best interest. I am going to turn aside and go this other way. Well, Balaam's not happy about that. So it says, So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back under the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she laid down under Balaam. Again, not because she was stubborn, but she's like, I'm not going over by this angel. So she just sits down. And it says, Balaam's anger was aroused, so he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord, this is the craziest part. It's not just crazy that this donkey talks. Look at this. Then that Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Now think about that. You're riding a donkey and it starts talking to you. Balaam, it says, and Balaam said to the donkey. I mean, it doesn't even skip a beat, like, whoa, hey, this donkey's talking to me. No, now he's going to have an argument with the donkey. And it says, And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for I would kill you. And the donkey is thinking, there is a sword right in front of us that probably wants to kill you and me, right? And so the donkey said, here's something I didn't bring up. There's another fact about a donkey here. I got one. I didn't share this yet. Where'd my donkey facts go? Here they are, I think. Okay. Donkeys are more independent in their thinking. Now, again, this is from just a random donkey website. This isn't from a Christian, Christian website about donkeys, okay? Donkeys are more independent in their thinking than horses and will reason, then make decisions based on their safety. So here's this donkey, given the supernatural ability to speak, and the donkey is reasoning with Balaam, okay? And it says, so the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? So he's saying, have I ever done anything like this to you? There must be a reason. And so Balaam says, no, you haven't. And it's just amazing to me. He's just like, there's no big deal about having this conversation with a donkey. But then it says, the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. So the donkey wasn't stubborn. The donkey was trying to protect them from this angel. Now, let me get back to the story about Jesus and this donkey in Jerusalem. But I just want to say, we all have people we probably consider donkeys. And if you're reading along in the King James, you know my point, okay? In our lives, we all have donkeys that we work with. No one at Sean and Becky's shop, though, but other shops and other businesses. Donkeys that we work with. Donkeys that we go to school with. Donkeys that we see at family reunions once in a while. There's donkeys out there, okay? Now look, back to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Jesus, so he sent his two disciples to Bethphage, to this village, to the specific location. And he says to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. A donkey. We think of these donkeys in our lives, these human donkeys, okay? And we, a lot of times, think they're just, you know, we want to see them following Jesus, but we think, well, they're just stubborn. They don't want to give their lives over to Jesus. Why are they so stubborn? Well, just like a donkey, sometimes it's not just that they're stubborn. It's because they have this idea, and I can relate. And if you got saved later in life, you probably can relate to this a lot more. You think you're going to have to give up everything that you enjoy doing to follow this Jesus. You're going to have to give up going to parties and, doing things that you're not supposed to do, but you think is so great and fun. But if you give your life to Jesus, you're going to have to give all that up, and it's just going to be boring, and you're going to have to go to church and, and all this stuff. It's a lie. I've never been more excited in my life than after I started following Jesus, but it's one of those mind control things, one of those things we're deceived by thinking of. And so people are not stubborn, but it's that self-preservation. It's not in their best interest to go towards Jesus. So Jesus sends his disciples to this specific location, to this specific donkey and this younger donkey, and they're tied up. The donkeys in your life are tied up with sin, with health issues, with emotional scars from their childhood or wherever it might be. They're enslaved. They're tied up. They're in bondage. And see, what Jesus has called us to be are his witnesses, right? He sends us to people, and he sends us into the world to preach the gospel and tell them about Jesus. He tells us in different locations in the gospels. In Matthew, he says to Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Right? These were master fish. This is their job. Peter and his family, I mean, that's what Peter grew up doing. They were experts at fishing. And Jesus says, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. We're all called to be fishers of men. Now I'm talking about donkeys, so in a way, we're all called to be herders of men. How do we reach these donkeys? How do we reach them? In Luke chapter 5, I'm not going to read this whole story, but this is where Jesus tells Peter to launch out and let's go fishing. He's like, oh, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you've told me to, I'll do it. Listen, there's a lot of wisdom in that. You don't always, and I don't always understand why Jesus is telling me to do something. But if he's telling me to do something, I'll just do it. Just do it. Do it anyway. Don't argue with Jesus. Don't come up with reasons not to do it. Just do it. Now, and it says at the end of that story, after they caught all this fish from listening to Jesus, being blessed because they listened to Jesus, having that reward of a great catch of fish because they were obedient and they did what Jesus told them to do, Jesus says to them, from now on, you will catch men. There's a lot of fishing analogies in the Bible. And Jesus is going to send you, if you're listening, if you can hear his voice, he's going to send you to a particular location at a particular time to a particular donkey. And when he sends you there, he's sending you there in his authority, in his power. Now look at this story again in Matthew 21. It says, he sent these two disciples to this village. And when they get there, it says, immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. Before we can bring people to Jesus, sometimes they have to be set free of whatever it is that's binding them. Whether it's a health issue, again, whether it's an emotional thing, whether it's a mind thing that they've been taught or they brought up believing, they have to be set free so they can completely come to Jesus. And this isn't just unbelievers. There's a lot of Christian donkeys in the world that are bound with some kind of sin. They're bound with some kind of emotional thing from their childhood or from whatever, or they're bound with a physical disease or something that's keeping them from fully being everything that Jesus wants them to be. And Jesus says to these disciples, you're going to find this donkey tied. I want you to go and loose it by my power and authority. And if Jesus sends you to somebody, you're going there in his power and authority to set them free so they can then be brought to Jesus. Jesus said in his first sermon, really, in Luke 4:18, Jesus said, he stands up in the temple and he's handed the book of Isaiah, the scroll of Isaiah, and he unrolls it to this portion, and this is what he says. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And again, Jesus is going to send you. This is Jesus' mission. It's the same mission we're given. If you're looking for a purpose in your life, what greater purpose could there be than to walk and talk to the people that Jesus sends you to do the same things that he did, to preach the gospel to them, to set them free, to heal the broken heart. It's not you, but it's Jesus through you doing these things. If he sends you to somebody, he sent you there, not just in your own power or authority or wisdom or knowledge. He sent you there in his authority and power, just like he sent these disciples. Because look what it says right after that. He says, you know, go there, you're going to find a donkey tied, loose them, bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. That's power. That's authority. Okay? Now, think about this, though. Oh, I didn't bring this up. One more donkey fact. This is really interesting, though. And again, this is not a Christian donkey website. This is just some random website. This is what it says about training donkeys. Now, listen. Listen to this. And think about the donkey in your life. Training a donkey relies on showing him or her by words and action that they can trust you to protect them from harm. They learn what it is we want them to do if we take time to show them. If we take time to show them, they'll learn what we want them to do. That takes patience. That takes perseverance. Right? So let me change that. Think about training or discipling somebody. You're discipling a son, a daughter, a grandson, a granddaughter, a friend, a coworker. You're discipling them. And they're a donkey. Discipling a donkey. Discipling your friend. Discipling your coworker relies upon showing him or her by words and action that they can trust you to protect them from harm. They learn what it is we want them to do. What do we want them to do? To love Jesus. To grow and become more like Jesus every day. To accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They will learn what it is we want them to do if we take time to show them. Let's go back to Matthew 21. So, there's donkeys all around us that are tied up. Jesus has sent us, the church, to loose them and to bring them to Jesus. And then this is, if Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. The motivation for telling people about Jesus obviously is love. We want to see them not go to hell, but go to heaven to serve Christ. And we've been, you hear, well, God doesn't need anything. Jesus needed a donkey. It says right there, I have need of him. The donkeys in your life, Jesus has need of them. In this particular story, Jesus needed this donkey to fulfill a prophecy about himself, about the coming Messiah. Jesus needed you, when you were still a donkey, to fulfill a mission, to fulfill the plan that he had for your life. He needed you to do something. And all those people in our lives that are, we think they're stubborn, we think there's no hope for them, Jesus has need of them to do something for him, for his glory. It's a whole different way to look at people. Jesus has need of you. But a lot of us, even as Christians, we're still tied to something. We're still bound to something. And Jesus wants to set us free so that we can fully serve him and accomplish the purpose that he's put us here to do. So I want you to stand with me this morning. And if you're here, and I'm telling you, if you're here this morning, it's not by accident. God has brought you here. You might not realize that, but he's brought you here. And maybe it's to set you free. I know it's to set you free. So it doesn't matter. You might be a believer for 30 years. You might still be bound by something. And Jesus wants to set you free. You might be, because of your idea of self-preservation, or it's not in my best interest to follow Jesus, that might be describing you this morning. But Jesus wants to set you free from that thinking. And he wants to set you free from whatever else it might be that's binding you. So I want to ask, if anyone's here that wants to be set free, Christian, non-Christian, if that is you and you want to be set free by Jesus, not by me, I can't set anybody free, but he can. If that's you, just raise your hand real quick and acknowledge that you want to be set free of something in your life. Just real quickly, raise your hand. I see those hands going up. Anyone else that wants to be set free this morning? I see that hand. Let's pray. Father, you sent Jesus into this world and we read why. We know it's to destroy the works of the enemy. But we also know, just like from the book of Isaiah, that Jesus was sent in the power of the Holy Spirit, anointed to preach the gospel. If you're here this morning, you need to be set free, and then you need to begin following Jesus. He died for you. This is what this whole week is focused on. Beginning today with Palm Sunday, when he came riding into Jerusalem, where just a few days later, a week later, or a few days later, he's going to be crucified and put to death. He came into Jerusalem, everyone shouting, "Hosanna, save us." And just a few days later, crucify him. People can turn. Don't put your faith in people. Put your faith in the Savior. If you need to have a relationship with the Savior, today is the day to do that. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. It says that he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. If any of you have broken hearts, you have emotional wounds, Jesus can heal your heart. And he wants to heal your heart. It says he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. What are you captive to? Is it sin of some kind? Is it to an addiction? Is it to something in your life? Jesus came to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives. And then it says recovery of sight to the blind. We know that he physically heals people. We know he's the healer. And he can heal your blindness physically, but he can also heal your spiritual blindness. And then he was sent to set at liberty those who are oppressed. There's a lot of even Christians that are oppressed by the enemy. But it says that Jesus came to set those free who are being oppressed. Father God, I pray that this is a reality, all of this morning. God, for each person, Lord, that can hear my voice this morning, if they have no relationship, no real relationship with you, I pray that they would give their heart to you this morning, that they would decide, today I am going to repent of my sin, and I'm going to believe that Jesus died for me, and that he rose again, and that by believing in him, I can have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here this morning, you're suffering from a broken heart. You've got the weight of the world bearing down on you. Things have happened in your life. People have done unkind things to you, treated you poorly. Jesus can heal you of that this morning. If you're bound, if you're a captive, if you're a slave to something, he can set you free. He can restore you physically. He can restore your spiritual vision. And set you free from anything, any demonic spirit that is trying to oppress you or oppress a loved one. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, that you are breaking the chains. Lord, by your power and authority, the chains that are binding people in this congregation, in this service this morning, that you're breaking them, these ties, emotional ties, physical ties, mental blocks and traps and mental things that are just keeping people from fully surrendering to you. I pray you break it, break them in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to follow you, Lord, without any restraint, nothing holding us back, no sin holding us back, no confusion, just a perfect focus on Jesus and going forward in him, not looking behind, but looking forward where you want us to go. And I pray and I believe everybody here, if you agree with that prayer, I want you to just raise both hands up and high and let Jesus see your palms on Palm Sunday. Father, I pray that you would bless and keep every person here. Lord, empower them to live for you. Lord, I pray, God, that your blessings would flow to each and every one of them. Lord, that this is the day where we finally, once and for all, say, I'm not letting the enemy bind me anymore. Jesus, you've set me free, and I'm going to follow you and do what you tell me to do the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hey, this is Holy Week or Easter Week, right? Focus on Jesus this week. And begin by coming back tonight to hear a wonderful message. Be blessed and be a blessing. In Jesus' name, God bless. Okay.